Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers and food photographers who want to earn an income doing what they love. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 122. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm a food photographer, food photography teacher. I'm the author of the Amazon bestselling book, Creative Food Photography, and a creative business mentor for food photographers, food bloggers, and food content creators just like you. And today I'm bringing you a bonus episode. Last time was the season finale for season 10, and we're now firmly and truly in bonus episode territory. And today I wanted to break down an experience that I had with a couple of my reels going viral and what that has meant and what I have learned through the process. So if you're struggling with Instagram and really keen to kind of understand what's happening, how to go viral, all that kind of stuff, then today's podcast episode most surely is for you. Now, before I go into that episode and kind of break down what's happening on Instagram and all that good stuff, I just wanted to remind you that it is the very, very last week to apply for my business mastermind, the Fearless Focus Mastermind and Mentoring Program. In fact, if you're listening to this in real time, you have some like 48 hours to submit your application as the application process closes the end of September. And I have to say, it has been like an amazing, amazing launch period in the sense that for me creatively, and maybe I'll do an episode on that too, do DM me if that's of interest to you, but I've been really experimental with my marketing of the Fearless Focus program. I've tried lots of different things that I normally don't. And also, I'm just feeling so enthusiastic about it this year. I think last year I was a little bit exhausted for a whole host of reasons. It was a very crazy year last year. We did our like highest turnover. It was just insane. And this year I just feel in a really good place and just really, really excited. I mean, I always give my all, but like it feels like this year is going to be really, really special. And I think all of that, the kind of experimentation in my marketing and how I am feeling, the energy I'm bringing into the process and, you know, all the things, means that the caliber of applications has just been bananas, and the variety of applications, and, you know, everybody's just their own unique creative being and bringing something different and special to the mastermind. And I'm just, yeah, like the group is coming together so, so gorgeously. But as I record this, I think we have 4 spots left. So I would love to fill them with the right creatives. And I wonder if you are one of them. So if you're struggling with your marketing or social media, feel a little bit confused about what to focus on in your food photography, food blogging, food content creation business, if you would like to earn more and get more confident in your pricing, then be sure to apply to the Fearless Focus program. If it is absolutely not a right fit, I will most certainly let you know, so you can find all the details via the link. You can find that in the show notes, basically, is what I'm trying to say. And yes, I would love, love, love to hear from you. Traditionally, the very last week before applications close is the busiest one. So don't let it get to like the wire point, as it were. Like, go for it, apply. You've got nothing to lose, and we can always take it from there. Right, enough about the Fearless Focus program. I'd love to delve deeper into what the entire viral reel experience was like, but more importantly, actually the learning process, because what I really hope is that there's something here that you can take away and apply to your food photography business and food blogging business. So I've had, in the last 8 weeks, I think about 3 of my reels have gone viral. And viral is a very, you know, I use that word loosely, because for some people, like if you're, most of your videos, reels, TikToks, whatever, have a reach of whatever, 100 views, then reaching 5,000 views feels like a little bit of a viral moment, right? Like that is your viral, or 10K views. If you're used to just 100 views per video and suddenly you get 10K, that is a mini viral moment. So I think just in terms of clarifying what I mean by that, for me, a reel, for my views and what I'm used to, a reel that goes viral is a reel that has 100K or more views, because my average is between kind of 10 to 40K views. So anything beyond that is pretty good for me. And 100K views most certainly is spectacular. And one of the reels, in fact, that went viral has more than 300,000 views. So that is definitely beyond what is normal for me. And, you know, I am a data nerd. I love digging deeper and I love understanding why it happened, what I can replicate it, and what it all means. So what I did is I looked at some of the reels that, you know, went viral, and I dug deep into my stats and my analytics. And the other thing I did is I compared it to, say, reels that I posted when Reels first came out in 2020, and just kind of compared the stats and how they are different. And, you know, one of the key things, the key takeaways that I have really noticed, and I really want to stress this for any of you who are posting real content and not seeing the reach or engagement or, you know, the impact that you used to have. I think when Reels first came out, you could have a video that was possibly lackluster and still really reach loads of people. And now, if you were to repost that very same reel, or if you have continued to create very similar kind of content, even though your content hasn't, you know, become worse, so to say, it is so much harder to have the same level of reach and impact and views. And the reason for that is when Reels first came out, there was less competition, so to say. So only a small percentage of people jumped onto the Reels bandwagon at the very start. So your Reels, even if they weren't perfect, would have had so much more scope to go viral and scope to be noticed than now, because now pretty much everyone is dabbling in Reels, if not going full force there. So if you're noticing that, even though you're putting the same amount of time and effort into your work and it's not having the same impact, that's why. And I really dug deep into my stats and looked at that really closely. So yeah, I just wanted to say, if you're posting things in the same way that you did a year or 2 years ago and it's not having the same impact, it's not you, it's just how the platform has changed and how it's just a more crowded, more saturated space. Now, what has been the most eye-opening thing about having some of my content go viral is really the longevity of my content. So never, ever, ever in whatever my 9-year history of being on Instagram have I ever posted something and 12 weeks later, it still has a ripple effect. It still is reaching people. It's still bringing new followers to me. Never. Usually I would post something and if it was, you know, if it really hit the mark, then for 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks or so, I'd have a trickle of people come through and like it, follow me, what have you. But with these reels, they keep on giving, you know, and that's been really exciting, I would say, just to see that a piece of content you create has such longevity. And I think, you know, if I look at the creators who are posting a lot of reels and who are growing very fast, that is part of that reason that, you know, Instagram kind of pushes their content to more and more new people continuously. And that really explains why and how they grow so quickly. And also for me, I've grown 12,000 followers or something like that in the last 8 weeks, which is pretty much, I dare say, even double what I did in terms of growth all of last year. Be it last year I didn't focus on growth on Instagram, but either way, that is a lot of people in a very short amount of time, just off the back of, you know, these 3 viral reels. So that longevity piece is something that I had not expected and has been very fascinating and also exhilarating to experience. Now, what I don't know, and I'll never know because I'm sure it's a well-kept secret in Instagram, and moreover, my sense is that it is something that keeps changing and evolving, but what are the stats, the things that Instagram looks into that makes them decide your reach and whether to put your content in front of new people or just your audience and so on? And this is a really, really key point because some of my reels have, you know, lots of views, but they didn't lead to the growth that, say, my viral videos did. And the reason is that Instagram predominantly only show them to my audience, and just a very minute percentage of non-followers saw that content. So, you know, if you looked on my Instagram page and you looked at my reels and you looked at how many views different videos have had, some of them have had, you know, an amazing amount of views, and, you know, I've been very happy with that, but they didn't allow me to grow and they didn't reach a new audience. In fact, what happens is if your audience sees your content, you know, you're more likely to lose followers. Actually, that's just how it goes. We all lose followers every day in the same way that hopefully we're gaining new followers. And so if your content is only put in front of your audience, the natural thing is that you lose followers. And so there is a benefit, of course, of your audience seeing your content because you want them to see you. You're there to serve them, and this is your way of serving them. But in terms of follower growth, that is so much harder to achieve if no one new sees and experiences what you have to offer. So that was something that was really fascinating to me, to see that the viral content, actually many more new people saw it than my actual audience that has chosen to follow me. So for the reel that where I have more than 300,000 views, I think less than 40,000 of those views are from people who actually follow me. So, you know, the majority of my followers never saw that viral reel, which for me, I find that fascinating. But my point, or at least the point I was trying to make, and I've gone off tangent, is, you know, how does Instagram decide whether to put your content in front of new people or to keep it with the audience that you have? And of course, as I said, I don't know, and I'm sure it's always changing and evolving and it's a well-kept secret. But what I noticed when I dug into my stats were four really key things. And the number one is how long people actually look at your content. So Instagram refers to that as retention rate. And for my viral reels, the retention rate was really, really high. So I think 70 or 80% of the people who viewed the content viewed it until the bitter end, so to say. Whereas some of my content that hasn't performed as well, the retention rate is significantly lower than that. And, you know, within that context, I do want to say, sometimes, or there's this kind of myth going around, and maybe it's because it did apply in the very start, but it certainly doesn't anymore, that if you do very, very short videos, if you did a video that was 3 seconds, you'll probably have a very high retention rate, you know, and so people will be like, well, I've got good retention rate and, you know, short videos work. But actually, it's not so valuable for Instagram to have 100% retention rate, aka people who watch your video from beginning to end for the whole 3 seconds, because they're only engaging with your content for 3 seconds. Whereas if you create a video that is a little longer, say 20 or 30 or even 45 seconds, and people stay and watch maybe say 50%, so whatever, 20 seconds, they have engaged with your content and been interested in your content for so much longer. And so even though it's not 100% retention rate, it's a much more valuable amount of time that they're spending engaging with your content than the 100% retention rate for a video with just, you know, 3 seconds. So what I noticed is that the videos that performed really well had that high retention rate and were also that pinch longer. And I do wonder if that had a major impact in Instagram deciding to push it out. Then a few other things that I noticed on the videos that performed really well. So one is they had a ridiculous amount of saves. And also, because they were pushed out to people that don't follow me, I can also see that they led to the vast majority. So those three viral reels were the culprits, so to say, of the, you know, 12K followers that I got in the space of 2 months. Like they brought in the bulk of these new folks to my account. So, you know, a lot of people made the decision to follow me off the back of that. And I do wonder if that is something that Instagram takes into account as well, like whether people take action after viewing the content. So apart from retention rate, saves, and then the action that people take after they've seen the content, aka their decision to press follow, It is my belief that all those things feed into Instagram's decision to push, you know, my content or anyone's content out to more new followers, and then which assists with growth, which then also assists with the possibility of your content going viral. So apart from those three things, there's one more thing that I noticed that was different with these viral videos compared to most of my other content, and that was shares. Now, because I live in the UK and because of data protection, I can't actually see how many people have shared my content. And in fact, the number that is next to that little paper airplane, aka the share button, is never accurate. And I'm not 100% sure how it works, and you know, I'm not sure. I don't know the ins and outs of why it says 6 when in fact it was whatever 30. I think it's to do with the people who share being protected by data protection and then others not having that same protection. Anyway, I'm going off on a tangent. It's not relevant. The point I'm making is I got a heck of a lot of shares to this day of the viral content, and that I am convinced had a role to play in the content going viral too. So it's those four things that really distinguished my viral content noticeably from the other content I share. So I'm going to repeat again: retention, saves, action, aka people's decision to follow me once they saw my content, and shares. Those four metrics were vastly, vastly different for my viral content, and I believe that's why Instagram pushed it out and made it even more viral. Now, interestingly, one metric that had no correlation whatsoever to my content going viral, reaching new audiences, having wider reach, impact, etc., was likes. So if you dig into my stats and you look, and you know, on the surface of it, some of my content performs really well, like I have 2,000, 3,000 likes, but that content isn't necessarily the one that has any bearings on my growth. And in fact, generally speaking, my photo content gets way more likes than my real contents on average, but the reach I get through photos is negligible, and it really is there to serve my current audience. And I will, you know, forever and always share photos because I'm a food photographer first and foremost. It's the medium I love the most, and you know, it serves a purpose, a very big and specific and important purpose in my business. But if growth is part of my strategy, as it is now this season, I cannot have photo posts dominate my content strategy because it won't get me to where I want to go. So yes, for me, that was again very interesting to see that, you know, Instagram isn't putting all that much weight on likes as a metric to determine whether to push your content out and to give you the opportunity and the chance to go viral. For me, the other really interesting thing is that the content that performed really, really well isn't necessarily my most favorite content that I ever created. Like the one that got over 300,000 views, to be honest, I posted it and then I deleted it because I was so unhappy with the edit of it. It came out really dark for a whole host of reasons, which I now know because I've gone through and learned so much in these last couple of months of posting reels very, you know, religiously. But at the time I was at a complete loss. So I posted it and deleted it immediately and posted it and deleted it immediately. And then posted it a third time. It was just like, you know, F it. I'm just going to leave it now. And lo and behold, but you know, for me, from an artistic perspective, it is not my finest hour, I don't think. But you know, it again made me realize that for growth, if that is our aim, if that is our goal, if we want to reach a new audience, it's less about us and more about what our audience wants. And you know, the perfect synergy happens when what your audience wants and what you like sort of merge and coincide. And you know, some of the videos that have done well, that's happened, but none of the viral videos have been ones where I've just been like, dang, you know, I really hit the mark here. I really did. After that first viral video, the other two that did really well, I did in response to that first viral video. I was like, okay, I think this is what my audience wants. And if I want to replicate that viral moment, I need to do something like this. And it worked. So yeah, so that's been really interesting to really put my audience first versus putting what I love posting the most first. Now, what is really interesting for me, and I don't think it's a coincidence, is that all my three viral videos happened in the same time frame. And this is something I find really fascinating in a way that I've been posting reels, essentially dabbling in them here and there since 2020. You know, more and more videos have started to hit the mark as I've become more confident as a, you know, short form video creator, whatever the term may be. But none of them had the impact these three had. And the fact that they all happened so shortly, you know, back to back, makes me think that once you do have a viral moment, and if you can stay committed and continue to post along those lines, that it's almost like that first viral moment is a signal to Instagram, like, hey, listen, this creator is posting something that people like. Let's give them a little bit more of exposure, so to say, because I cannot imagine that it's just my strategy that led to three viral reels in the space of 6 weeks. Like, I just can't imagine that. And lo and behold, as I've taken a bit of a break, as I'm focusing on other projects, which I haven't told you about yet, but I will soon, even though I've posted videos that I felt were similar ish, none of them have had the same impact because I've taken breaks in between and just not posted as consistently as I was during that viral moment phase, so to say. So yeah, I do think there's something about posting consistently and signaling to Instagram that your content is valuable. And so, you know, it's not just a one-off, but for them to take a closer look at some of the other things that you're doing. Now, the very final thing that has been really interesting and exciting about having my content go viral is that it has trickled over outside of Instagram. So, you know, having that exposure, essentially having whatever, 500,000 new eyes on my content in a very short space of time, has had a ripple effect throughout my business, which has been very interesting to see. So I've had more sales of my book during those viral moments, although I didn't specifically create any content advertising my book. I've sold more foundation courses during that period. And then on the platform, my Instagram stories, I've had more views than I've ever had before for things that are pretty random or pretty standard of what I've been doing essentially for the last whatever 6 years or however long Instagram stories has been in place. I've had more newsletter sign ups. Like, there's been a whole ripple effect beyond Instagram, and that has been really interesting, actually. And because alongside that, I have still stayed true to my usual way of marketing, that all has happened alongside just continuous inquiries for my food photography work. And my sense is, although I'd have to look at the stats for that, and I didn't before I recorded this, my sense is that usually the summer for me is very quiet because I take the summer off. And so during the summer itself, I do generally have a tiny little dip in inquiries that come through. But this summer, as I posted content continuously and that content obviously went viral, the inquiries that I've had through both for food photography work and then also for quote unquote influencer work has just kind of peaked a little, and in a way that is unseasonally so. So I don't have the stats for that. I don't quite know, but my sense is that my wider reach through those viral reels have had a role to play in that process. So again, that's been very interesting. And overall, I think the biggest takeaway for me is, again, I've been on Instagram for a good 9 years now, and I've had content go viral before. So this is not my first rodeo, so to say, in the viral space, but in different ways. So certain blog posts that have just hit the mark, or certain things on Pinterest just that went bananas, or, you know, even certain posts on Instagram that, you know, I had more likes and views and comments than anything I'd ever done before. But all of it pales in comparison to what these viral moments, so to say, were like. Because I think the way that the platform is now, that when you have a viral moment, it's just exponential in every way one could use that word. Whereas before, because the internet wasn't as mature, the virality of these pieces of content have just been an experience that I have not had ever before. So all that to say, if you're not including Reels, and in fact also TikTok, so if that's not part of your strategy, then you are missing out. And you know, it's taken me 3 years to get to a place where I had something go viral, and I hope that that's not the, you know, length of time that you have to wait, that I'm sparing you all the experimentation because I'm sharing it all with you now, right? Now, I do want to end the podcast by saying that I'm well aware I'm not the most talented videographer, or not yet anyways, the most talented videographer that ever walked the surface of the earth. But I think in a way, and I hope in a way, that's maybe the most empowering piece of this podcast episode, that you don't have to be to have a viral video. So yes, I hope today was helpful. I hope this gave you some insight into my stats and all that. I do have an Instagram highlight saved where I share some of the insights from that. So if you want to go and have a look, I will link to it in the show notes. And for the moment anyways, I don't know if this will change, but for the moment, I have pinned my three most successful viral reels to the reel section in my Instagram. So if you want to go and have a look at those, you most certainly can. And, you know, please know that in the Fearless Focus program, we will have a deep dive session. In fact, more than one deep dive session into social media marketing, what is working on Instagram and all that good stuff. So if you are looking to improve your reel strategy, your Instagram strategy, your social media strategy, and are running a food photography, food blogging, or food content creation business that you want to grow, be sure to check it out, as mentioned, link in the show notes. Right, I will be back same time, same place with another bonus episode in about 2 weeks. It's going to be, I think, an interview-based episode, if I'm not mistaken, and I cannot wait to connect with you then. Now, before I go, one more final request is, if you enjoyed today's podcast episode, do drop me a line on Instagram and let me know. I would be most grateful. I always love hearing from listeners. And of course, if you love this and you think there's somebody who would like it too, please don't hesitate to share it on Instagram or just sending it through to somebody you know who will benefit from this content. And thank you so much, and see you soon. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my Eat, Capture, Share newsletter community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. And yeah, you'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care.